Title: Macro Mapping for Fast Dub Send Moves Intermediate. Alright, today we're building one of the most useful drum and bass workflow tools you can have in Ableton Live, a performable dub throw system. You know that moment where a single snare hit suddenly blooms into a tape echo, or a vocal chop spirals out at the end of an 8-bar phrase? That's the vibe. And in DNB, those throws are everywhere because they create movement and hype without cluttering the main groove. The goal of this lesson is simple. You'll build a stock-only return track with a macro that lets you shape the throw fast, like an instrument. Then you'll trigger it with quick send spikes, so it stays clean and intentional. Before we touch devices, quick mindset check. In the cleanest setup, the send automation is your on and off trigger, and the macro is the character control. If you try to make one knob also do the job of how loud is the return, you'll end up fighting gain staging constantly. So we're going to separate responsibilities. The send decides when the throw happens. The macro decides what the throw feels like. Step 1. Prepare session. If you want, group your drums. Select your kick, snare, hats, percussion, then Command or Control G and name the group drums. This is optional, but it makes routing and sidechain choices easier later. Now make sure you actually have good throw sources. Dub throws work best on transient heavy, mid-forward sounds. Classic picks, your snare or clap on 2 and 4. A short vocal chop, a stab or impact every 8 or 16 bars. Try not to throw constant elements like kick or non-stop hats. That's usually how you end up with a wash that never stops, and in DNB that kills punch. Now let's build the return. Create a return track. Create menu, insert return track. Name it a dub throw. And we're going to add stock devices in a very specific order, because the order is part of the sound. First device, auto filter. Set it to low pass. Set slope to 24 dB. Put the frequency around 3.5 kHz as a starting point, and resonance around 10 to 20%. If you want a little drive, keep it subtle. Teacher note, this filter is your anti-fizz insurance. DNB has a lot of high-frequency energy already. The return should feel exciting, but it shouldn't fight your hats and air. Next, echo. This is the main dub engine. Mode, repitch if you want that tape-style pitch movement as the delay time shifts, or fade if you want it cleaner. Time, start at 1/8 dotted. That's a classic DNB bounce at 174. If you want bigger gaps or halftime wait, try 1/4. Feedback, somewhere in the 35 to 55% range as a starting zone. Keep echo's internal filter fairly neutral if you're already using auto filter to shape tone. Add just a little modulation so the repeats feel alive, not static. Next device, reverb, after echo. Size, go big, like 70 up to 100. Decay time, somewhere around 2.5 to 6 seconds to start, but we're going to macro that, so don't stress. Pre-delay, 10 to 25 milliseconds. This is really important. Low cut, 180 to 300 Hz. In DNB, low-end discipline is everything. High cut, around 6 to 10 kHz to avoid hash and harshness. Quick explanation on pre-delay. It helps the transient read. Without it, the reverb can swallow the snare's definition, and you lose that crack that makes the throw hit emotionally. Next, saturator. Drive around 2 to 6 dB to start. Turn soft clip on. Color mode, analog clip or soft sign. Pick what suits your track. Analog clip is a bit more bite. Soft sign can be smoother. Then, compressor for ducking and control. Turn sidechain on. Audio from your kick or your drums group if you prefer. Usually kick is the cleanest key signal. Ratio, 4 to 1. Attack, 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release, 80 to 200 milliseconds. Then set threshold so you get about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. And a big coach note here, don't calibrate ducking by staring at the gain reduction meter. Calibrate it by groove. If the return chatters, your release is too fast. If the tail smears into the next snare and feels like it never gets out of the way, your release is too slow. You want it breathing with the kick pattern. Cool. Now we rack it up for macros. Select all those devices on the return track and group them into an Audino effect rack. Command or Control G. Show the macro knobs and rename the rack DUB throw rack. Now the fun part. Macro mapping for fast performance. We're going to create one primary macro called throw. This is your one knob intensity control. It'll go from tight, controlled throw to big dub chaos, but still safe enough to use in a drop. Rename macro 1 to throw. Enter map mode on the rack. Map these parameters to throw. Echo feedback. Reverb dry slash wet. Reverb decay time. Auto filter frequency. Saturator drive. Exit map mode, and now set the map ranges. This is where the magic is. These ranges create a musically usable curve rather than an everything is too much knob. Set echo feedback to roughly 25% at minimum, up to about 70% max. Set reverb dry slash wet from about 10% up to around 45%. Set reverb decay time from about 2 seconds up to around 7 seconds. Set auto filter frequency from about 1.2 kHz up to about 6.5 kHz. So the filter opens as the throw gets bigger. Set saturator drive from about 1 dB up to around 7 dB. Now pause and do the most important step most people skip. Set a safe maximum. Push the throw macro to 100% and listen. You're checking three danger zones. Is the delay trying to run away into self-oscillation? Is the top end getting harsh or fizzy? Is the low mid building up and clouding the mix? If any of those happen, don't promise yourself you'll be careful. Just pull back the map ranges until 100% is still usable. The goal is performance headroom. You want to be able to grab the knob mid-drop without fear. Also, set the return track fader lower than you think. Seriously, park it around minus 12 dB to start, maybe up to minus 6 later. Treat it like a dub bus master. That way you can do aggressive feedback and decay moves without the wet signal suddenly jumping in front of the whole mix. Now let's add a few support macros that make this rock mix safe and performance ready. Macro 2. Dub time. You can map echo time, but here's the deal. Continuous time changes mid-drop can get messy unless you know exactly what you're doing. So you have two good options. Option 1. Leave echo time manual and pick a value per section. That's often the cleanest. Option 2. Map a small range for musical swaps, like 1/16 to 1/4, and move it only at phrase boundaries. Goody then be defaults. For rollers and dance floor, 1/8 dotted. For jungle edits, try 1/16 or 3/16. For halftime and heavier stuff, 1/4 can sound huge. Macro 3. Wash HP. This is your low cut safety. Map reverb low cut from about 150 Hz up to 450 Hz. As you push the throw bigger, you can also push the low cut higher to stop mud. This is one of those sounds boring but saves the track controls. Macro 4. Duck. Map the compressor threshold, so you can go from subtle ducking to obvious pumping. A rough example range might be minus 18 dB down to minus 32 dB, but it depends on your kick level. Set it so the low end stays readable even when the throw tail is long. At this point, you have a playable return. Now we do the key workflow move that makes this actually fast in real production. Automate sends like an instrument. On your snare track, automate send A. Keep it at minus infinity most of the time. Then spike it for a single hit, somewhere around minus 6 dB up to 0 dB, and pull it back immediately after. Think of it like tapping the delay with your finger. Quick touch, then gone. Arrangement ideas that basically always work in DNB, end of every 8 bars. Throw the last snare in the bar before the drop. Throw a vocal chop and the snare together. In a 32-bar drop, do one throw every 16 bars to mark sections. And here's a teacher tip. Record 2 automation lanes on purpose. Lane 1. Short send spikes. That's when does it happen. Lane 2. Slower curves on the throw macro over a half bar or a bar. That's how intense is the moment. This is how you get intentional throws instead of random splashes. Now, if you hate automating sends across a bunch of tracks, there's a cleaner control method. Use a send driver approach. Put a utility on the source track. Keep send at a static value, like minus 10 dB. Then automate utility gain to drive into the send. This makes throw behavior more consistent across different sounds, especially vocals and stabs where levels can vary. Next, performance mapping. Hit Command or Control M to go into MIDI map mode. Click the throw macro. Move a knob or fader on your controller. Exit MIDI map mode. Now you can literally perform dub throws and record automation live. And live recorded macro automation often feels more musical than drawn-in curves, because your hand naturally creates the right kind of acceleration into a moment. Let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid the usual pain. Mistake 1. Too much low end in the return. Fix. Raise reverb low cut. Use your wash HP macro or add an EQ if needed. DNB throws should feel big, not heavy. Mistake 2. Echo feedback runaway. Fix. Cap the feedback range. Don't map it to 95% unless you want chaos on purpose. Mistake 3. Throwing on every snare. Fix. Throws are punctuation. If everything is a moment, nothing is a moment. Use them at phrase ends or where there's an actual gap. Mistake 4. Return louder than dry. Fix. lower the return fader. Parallel effects feel better when they support the dry signal instead of replacing it. Mistake 5. No ducking. Fix. Sidechain the return to the kick. This is one of the big secrets to getting huge atmospherics without losing impact. Now a few spicy upgrades you can try once the basic rack is working. If you want darker or heavier DNB, you can add corpus before the reverb. Very subtle for resonant grit. Keep it small doses. It can get out of hand fast. You can weaponize filtering by automating a little extra resonance on the auto filter during pre-drop throws. It's a classic tension trick. You can also add a utility at the end with width mapped from 100% down to like 0 to 30%. In dense drops, narrowing the throw can keep the sides from turning fizzy while still sounding big. And here's a super practical advanced idea. Add a kill switch. Make a macro that pulls down echo output or a utility after echo, and also pulls reverb dry slash wet down. That becomes your emergency brake for cutting tails right before a new section. That sudden dryness can make the next impact feel twice as big. Another dramatic one. Echo freeze. If your version allows mapping it cleanly, you can freeze a throw for a beat, then release it right before the next snare. Send a single hit. Freeze. Hold. Release. Instant time stop moment. Now let's do a quick 10-minute practice exercise to lock this in. Load a simple 174 BPM loop. Kick on 1 and 3. Snare on 2 and 4. Hats rolling. Add a vocal stab on beat 4.4 every 8 bars. Build in a DUB throw return with the rack and macros. Automate snare send so you throw only the last snare of every 8 bars. Then automate the throw macro so it ramps up slightly in the last half bar before the throw, and snaps back right after. Render it and listen back with one question in mind. Is the kick still clean while the tail happens? And do the throws read like events, like intentional moments, rather than constant ambience? If you nail 3 clean throws in a 32-bar loop that feel hype and controlled, you've basically got the technique. Final recap. You built a return-based dub throw system using stock Ableton devices. You created a one-knob throw macro controlling feedback, space, tone, and grit. You trigger throws with send spikes, and shape intensity with macro automation. And you keep the mix tight with smart filtering and sidechain ducking. This audio version is shortened for playback.